Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Antiki on this busy Tuesday in New York City. The New York Giants are a 2-11 football team. They got embarrassed by the Patriots last night. More on that coming up in a couple of minutes, as well as how they continue to really morph into the New York Jets. But for the first time since training camp, we heard from Joe Shane just a few minutes ago, because this is customary that on a bye week, the general manager will come out and will answer some questions. So we now head to the Sean Morash, Joe Shane news desk.
Yes.
Sean, what will we hear today from the general manager?
Well, first of all, I hope you guys had a great first hour of the show. I hope it went well.
No comment.
No comment. Okay.
Don't know what you're talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
Do I have to get up earlier? I don't know. No comment.
Right. Gotcha. All right. Here
My
we go.
My dogs wake me up anyways.
Yeah, my what? Sons wake me up anyway.
Well, anyway, now I'm completely flabbergasted. I just had to sit there and listen.
How many more games do I get to go to, Evan?
As many as you want.
Okay.
No comment. All right, go ahead.
All right. Joe Shane didn't have a lot of no comments today. He spoke for 20 minutes after being a half an hour late, just full context.
That is unbelievable to me. Abdul Carter got benched for either being late or no-showing a team event. And the general manager comes out to speak to the media. Everyone's excited. It's on the Giants YouTube page. Giant fans are all pumped up to hear from their leader. And he shows up how many minutes late?
A full half an hour, a little over.
Jeez.
Ironic.
Yeah. And basically, it was 20 minutes to the core. I have listened to every single question and answer. I'm going to present to you guys 7 pieces of audio that I think are the most interesting. It wasn't as fascinating a press conference, I think, deep diving-wise, probably because it was so short. But here we go. First and foremost, you guys just kind of ended that last hour talking about Jackson Dart taking the hits. Joe Shane, of course, was asked about that. Here is the back and forth.
Now, obviously, everyone's talked about it, but have you talked to him or you talked to the coaches about this? Hey, we need to protect him better. He needs to protect himself. How have you been involved with that conversation?
Yes, and having just lived it in Buffalo, we've been through this before. And what makes these players great is, you know, their toughness, their competitiveness, their desire to win. And you appreciate that about Jackson, but you also have to be available. And try not to take the unnecessary hits. I would say last night was probably unnecessary. Probably could have gotten out of bounds, and it's 3rd and 1, and instead we get a penalty, and he takes a shot, and now it's 3rd and 16. So there's a fine line, and what makes Jackson great is his competitiveness, is his desire to win, and that's the way he's wired. So you try to find a fine line between playing smart but also not taking away what makes them great. And he's not the only quarterback that scrambles. I mean, you guys watch this against Kansas City, and Patrick Mahomes is running all over the place. Jaden Daniels, Josh Allen, some of the best. Like, you can't be, there's very few that can be the pocket passer that's just a statue in there these days. So just got to be smart when you can get down and not have to take hits and unnecessary hits. You got to take advantage of those opportunities so you can live to see another day.
So he said that was an unnecessary hit, the one that he went out of bounds on. I mean, he's trying to get a first down.
I mean, unnecessary hit by Christian Ellis or unnecessary shot taken by Jackson Dart?
I mean, it sounds like he's saying Jackson Dart.
But that's Jackson Dart. He's just not going to change the way he plays football.
Well, but here's the other thing before you continue. Josh Allen. We always love to talk about Josh Allen. How many NFL games has Josh Allen missed due to injury? If I'm not mistaken, the answer is either zero or one. It's not a long list.
Yeah, it's not. I'm trying to even think off the top of my head.
Well, I'm looking at his history. He's played all 12 games this year, 17 last year, 17 in 2023, 16 in 2022, and then 17 in 2021. So there was one game missed in the last 5 years, and I'd have to look back on it. It's certainly possible that that was a, hey, let's get you ready for the postseason kind of situation. So I think one of the reasons why this is discussed as much as it is because he's now missed a couple of games. Josh Allen hasn't.
Right.
Anyhow.
Okay, now following up on Jackson Dart, the big million-dollar discussion is, was Jackson Dart here because Brian Daboll wanted him here, or was he a Joe Shane guy? Joe Shane was pressed on this, and he was very quick to tell everybody how much he was the Jackson Dart guy.
Perception is out there regarding Jackson that because of the video clips you guys maybe did in the summer back from the draft, were you saying to Dabes, are you convicted in Jackson? That the perception is that he was Dable's guy, that he wasn't your guy. What insight or what can you speak to that, the idea that Jackson wasn't necessarily your guy, but it was the head coach that decided that he would be drafted?
Yeah, and again, there's context to those. You know, again, there's hundreds of conversations leading up to that conversation in the draft room, starting, you know, when we met with Jackson at the Senior Bowl. So you could probably ask Jim Denton. He says the earliest 30 visit I've ever scheduled, you know, was in January. You know, he was already on our calendar. So Jackson was a guy that was on our radar very early in the scouting process before, you know, Dave's was even aware of him because he was coaching. And anytime you're going to make a decision on a first-round quarterback, that's going to be an organizational decision. And it was an organizational decision. Credit to my staff. They did a phenomenal job gathering information, understanding the landscape of the draft, that, you know, we could get Abdul at 3, and then when's the reentry point into the first round where we could still get a quarterback? And again, kudos to my staff, Brandon Brown, Tim McDonald, you know, Dennis Hickey, all those guys. The research they did was spot on. And if you're going to make the decision to move back up into the first round to get a quarterback, all hands are on deck. That was an organizational decision. We're all on board with it. And, you know, I'm glad we were able to do it. We didn't have to sell the farm to go up and get the quarterback. You know, we were able to get him where we were. And, you know, again, it looks like that pick's going to pay off.
The perception, no matter what Joe says, is that it wasn't his pick. So I don't know what happened in that draft room. We're all judging it based on a clip and based on a quote. We asked him about this at training camp before Jackson Dart ever played a game. Same thing. I asked it, like, hey, perception is it's Daboll's pick. He said the same damn thing. Unfortunately, what Joe Shane is battling right now is the perception issue.
Right. Of his lack of quality draft picking.
Well, no, I think the idea that it was Dabes' pick. Fair or not, that's what people think.
Well, I know, but it's also that's why he's, I think, defending his record on drafting Jackson Dart.
Oh, definitely.
Because it lifts it. Now, ultimately, he makes the choice, so it's on his record regardless. But, again, it feels like it's a semantics game because, ultimately, who the hell cares? Who gets credit? The dude's on our team.
I completely agree. I think we make too much of, I'm not giving this guy credit for this, or I am giving credit to that guy for that. If you pick a player in free agency or the draft, it's your pick.
Right. It's nonsense to even talk about it because you justify the question. It's a team game. It's a team process of drafting a quarterback. If you have to defend yourself, then you're playing a selfish game.
You know what I hope someone asked, and you tell me, Sean, if someone asked this. It reminds me of one of the most legendary moments in WFAN history. Many years ago, Mike and the Mad Dog were on. Christopher Russo was interviewing, oh my God, what's that? Mike Milbury. Mm. And he says to Mike Milbury, who was running the Islanders at the time, hey, Mike, why do you still have a job? And Mike did not take it well, and obviously was not thrilled.
Can you blame him?
But it's a very direct question, and that's what someone should have said to Joe. Joe Shane, why do you think you should still have a job? I'd phrase it a little softer. Anyhow, did anyone ask him that?
It's going to lead me into the next question I had, which was Brian Daboll was held accountable for the losses.
Oh!
Why were you not?
Oh, there we go. That's pretty good. Who asked that?
I think it was Pat. I'm losing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Memory between all these questions. I did label this as raw, so bear with me if the first 5 seconds are the end of something.
That's okay? Fine, go
Here
ahead.
Here we go.
About your future, and haven't been given any assurances that you'll be seeing the coaching search and into next year through.
Yeah, again, our focus is going to be on supporting Kafka and his staff. Ownership will evaluate the entire football operation at the end of the season, as they should, and then we'll go from there.
You mentioned ownership frustration. What conversations have you had with John and Steve?
Yeah, again, you guys have seen the results. Two wins, not good enough. I mean, I'll keep our conversations between us, but we all know two wins isn't good enough. Where we are right now isn't good enough, and it needs to change. Go ahead, Pat.
Thanks. You and Brian Daboll came in and worked as a collaborative pairing. So why is he held accountable for the results after 4 years, but you are not?
Yeah, I understand the question there too, Pat. And again, I'm equally as, you know, my hands in it just like Brian's is. And ownership made a decision to move on. And again, I'm going to control what I can control, and that's support Kafka moving forward. And again, I wish Dave's nothing but the best. And we're going to do everything we can to get this franchise back to where it should be.
That answer should reassure Giant fans because he has not been guaranteed he's coming back. And that was his answer.
Yeah.
His answer
what
was
it sounded like.
No doubt. They have to reevaluate everything. They made a decision as an ownership to remove the head coach in the middle of the season. They will reevaluate everything when the season is done, as they should, Joe Shane's words. And right now, he talks about 2-11 not being good enough. They finished last year 1-11. So they are 3-22 in their last 25 games. And that's what ownership's going to evaluate. And so I feel emboldened by those comments on something I said to you 2 weeks ago. I don't think Joe Shane is coming back.
I mean, it doesn't feel like it's guaranteed. That's for sure.
And they didn't guarantee
because
it to him.
People want to say that. And they want to hear that when we talk about this Giants organization in front office. Is that they want to hear, Dave's got fired, Joe Shane kept his job. Why is he not being held accountable? It's literally the question that Pat just asked. There is a process to having a draft, to finishing out a season, to working in the business the way that it needs to be worked. That doesn't make it as easy to fire a general manager as it makes it as easy to fire a head coach. It's just easy to fire a head coach.
Yeah, and I also think that they wanted to evaluate what this season would look like with different coaching. And so far, we still have 4 games left. It ain't good. So I think that answer for those in the crowd, and I think it's most people who want there to be a new general manager next year, I'm going to phrase it in a nicer way, just a new look, a new era of Giants football. I think Joe Shane's honest answer is him telling you, I don't know if I'm coming back. I haven't been assured anything.
Okay, so I'm going to skip slightly out of order here because I think it's important. We just heard the Pat Leonard, Joe Shane back and forth. So Pat Leonard was kind of like Jaws circling the boat in the movie. So a couple of the reporters asked questions. I'll get to those in a second. But Pat came back for more, another chunk out of the boat. And I actually think that this answer ultimately is what people are going to judge Joe Shane off this press conference going forward on whether you like him or not. Bear with that's just my opinion. Here we go.
What we have, I think some people would say you don't have enough. So I'm asking,
and that's fine. That's
where have you erred in that as far as composing the roster, building the roster, keeping draft picks on the roster who have not contributed, who don't look like they're going to contribute into the future, and who create depth issues on the roster that seem to become glaring issues when these games are on the line?
Well, I'll just say this, Pat. Like, nobody's perfect, and, you know, the chance of me batting 1,000 are gone because I've made mistakes, okay? Everybody's going to make mistakes, and we're going to get some things right. As long as you're learning from those mistakes and you reflect on the process in place and where you went wrong and you can continue to get better, that's what's most important. And I'm better today than I was 4 years ago when I get this job. And a year from now, God willing, I'm standing here, I'm going to be better than I am today. And that's all I can do. That's all I can do. That's all my staff can do. We continue to evaluate the process. Where there's some things we did where we missed in our process or we strayed from what we believe in. There's a chance that happened. Okay, lesson learned. Lesson learned. Don't make it again. But again, these, as you go through it, there have been a lot of decisions that have went right. Okay, so what can we learn from that? As long as we're learning and continuing to get better and don't make the same mistakes twice, then that's progress. And that's what we're going to continue to focus on, our process, to get this organization back where it belongs. Again, it's the gold standard. It's still the New York Giants and the greatest city in the world. Flagship franchise, great ownership, young quarterback. Like, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the guys are here. Have I screwed up? Have I made mistakes? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm not going to make the same mistake twice. And we're going to continue to get better. And we're going to look at everything. Everything. Coaching, coordinators, strength. I mean, every single thing, every part of the organization. And we're going to do everything we can to get this thing going in the right direction.
I feel uncomfortable. I don't know why. Do you guys have a rhetoric? Because I feel very awkward listening to that.
I heard a lot of George Bush.
Is that why I felt that way?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is exactly why you felt that way. Did you not?
Maybe.
he couldn't find the answer.
He did not.
Strategery.
Because there is no answer.
There isn't. Why? What made you draft Jalen Hyatt? Okay, perfect. Why is he still on the team? Okay, great. What's the alternative? Tell me about Evan Neal. Okay, fantastic. Why is he still on the team?
Yeah.
Some of these answers, sometimes you just got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. Know when to walk away.
Yep. So what should he have done?
And know when to run.
Just not say, I got to go? I have no answer?
No.
I'm talking about leaving
players.
Oh, I got you. Getting rid of those players,
yes.
You mentioned.
When you miss, you miss, dude. There was no reclaiming Jalen Hyatt. There was not. We've seen it multiple times over the last two seasons. It is a dead cause. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. Go out to the L.A. Rams and let Sean McVay turn you into a superstar, just like they did Emmanuel Forbes, Chris Shula, their defensive coordinator, was an absolute and total bust with the Washington Commanders. It's a serviceable player with 3 interceptions for the Rams. Go figure. Like, you don't have to deal with it. Cut bait. Don't let us look at your bust, because the more that we look at your bust, the more that we ask you about it. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
When you screw up, cut bait. That's not hard.
No, I get you. And those answers weren't good. You're right. It did remind me of W. Because it was like, the financial crisis has hit. I don't know. I'm not going to be president next year. I don't know how to tell you to fix it.
Strategery.
Get me out of here.
And that's why, to me, I thought that was the most important, impactful answer. Because I think there's some that will look at it and be like, okay, he's like admitting that he sucks. Right? So there's something there.
In a lot of ways, yes.
In a lot of ways. Here's my other issue, though. You can't make the same mistake twice. This question was never asked, so this answer isn't coming. Graham Gano, you've made the same mistake with 3 straight offseasons.
That's true.
So clearly you're not learning from your mistakes.
Yeah. Now that's the rhetoric, because he's right. You always want to get better from the mistakes that you've made. But I think it is absolutely fair, with Gano being a good example, that you haven't learned from those mistakes.
Okay.
Any more awkwardness from Joe Shane?
Okay. I'm going to give you the next one where I nearly fell out of my chair out in the newsroom.
All right.
If you had crediting acquiring Chris Manhertz on your Joe Shane bingo card, like the fourth tight end on the team, you got it here when Joe Shane was asked why the Giants have a leadership problem with players specifically.
To evaluate the significance of leadership on your team by letting guys go, like trading Leonard, letting Julian Love go, Xavier McKinney, Saquon Barkley, do you think that has played a part in the fact that your team isn't able to finish and doesn't have enough leadership to get to the finish line and get wins?
I think we have, I know we have leadership on this team. I'll say that. Like, Brian Burns is a very good leader. He's done a good job. And I hear you on those guys, but you're at different points in the build, okay? You can, you want to rush the passer, protect the passer, and get a quarterback, okay? Rush the passer, protect the passer, and have a quarterback. In the context of those decisions, if you bring somebody, you know, if you bring back a safety, now you don't have a pass rusher. If you bring back a running back, you don't get Jermaine Illuminor. You don't get John Runyon. In order to be productive at some of those positions, it helps to have the other. So I understand the leadership portion. We do have leaders on this team. You know, offensively, Jackson has stepped into that role. Scat is a future leader for us. You know, Andrew Thomas has done a good job. Defensively, we've got guys. So leadership's always going to be important. And we try to have it in every room. Like, nobody talks about Chris Manhertz, but the development of, you know, Theo Johnson and Belly, Devin Singletary. You know, a guy in that room that has really been instrumental in Scat and Tyrone Tracy's development. So they may be, your best players don't always have to be your leaders. You would like them to be, but in today's day and age, it's getting harder and harder to find those guys. But we're always going to look for leadership, and, you know, again, specifically at the quarterback position, I think we have a very good future leader in Jackson Dart.
What did you think of that answer, Teague? You're right.
Your best players don't have to be your leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Your best players better be your leaders. If they not, you got a problem.
Mm.
I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Because your best player is who the lesser player is going to emulate. And so if your best player is not the guy who's leading everybody else, then how do you expect anybody else to develop into a leader? I'm being honest.
Did you notice it was noticeably absent from his mouth?
Dexter Lawrence?
Yep.
I mean, I get Chris Manhertz. He plays 16% of the snaps.
Yeah.
16 so far. I get, you know, Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary was usurped not only by Tyrone Tracy, but Cam Scataboo. He's only playing because both those guys are injured.
Mm.
So I get what he's saying, but your best players need to be your leaders.
Yeah.
That's how it went. Somebody called earlier about my era. Our best players were our leaders. Michael Barrow, Jesse Armstead, Michael Strahan, right? Those were Eli. Those were our leaders. The best players. It wasn't the backup.
Yeah.
It wasn't Russell Wilson. You know what I mean? What are we talking about?
I've learned something from this exercise. How many questions do we have left, by the way, before
I'm going to play two more.
Okay. I've learned something from this entire exercise. I'd like to apologize to James Dolan and the New York Knicks. They were right all along. Why have your general manager speak to the media and to the fans when they're only going to make things worse? Isn't it better to just get bad publicity for hiding your executives as opposed to putting your executive out there when he doesn't have answers or he doesn't have good answers?
Yeah.
This has done more harm than good for Giant fans and for the future of Joe Shane. I'm sorry, Mr. Dolan. You were right all along.
Okay. Hard to argue. As I continue, I think this next answer is important because it's interesting, because he closed that talent answer by talking again about Jackson Dart as becoming like the leader of the team, right? We all heard that. So, it's fair to ask, in the coaching search, will Jackson Dart have any kind of input or say in the new head coach?
How Jackson makes this an attractive job, right? Do you have to take into consideration what Jackson will find attractive in a head coach?
You're going to take that into account if he has an opinion, but again, like, all due respect to Jackson, he's been here for 9 months. You know, you want to lean on him, and if it's an offensive mind or concepts or something, but you've got people in the building that have been doing this for over 20 years and networks around the league and know what it looks like and have been doing it for a long time. So I respect Jackson a lot. We have great communication, talk to him about a lot of things, and as it gets closer, that's something we'll have conversations about. But you know, again, the weight of the decision won't.
What do you mean to say that, you know, he's going to have a voice in it, but are you sort of playing matchmaker?
Well, the entire team. It's not just offensively. You know, again, who can come in and lead the entire team? You know, offensively, defensively. Obviously, you do have a young quarterback, and that's going to be important, the development of Jackson, that he continues to progress the way he has. And, you know, that's obviously going to weigh heavy into the decision.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson Dart should not be deciding who the
coach course is. Not. But developing and continuous growth is the most important thing.
Yes, yes.
It's not even a conversation.
That's what's going to lead to success or no success. Again, Chicago and New England are the great examples with quarterbacks going into their second year, mm-hmm. new head coach. Drake May is the favorite to win the MVP.
Yeah.
Obviously, the development led by Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel has played a big role in that. All right, final question for Joe Shane.
You guys want to end on a laugh?
Yeah.
Let's end on a laugh.
We need to smile.
So Joe Shane ended his press conference. I would use the word abruptly after being asked a simple question. What happens if the new coach you want to hire wants his own GM?
A GM candidate might want to bring in, I mean, a coaching candidate might want to have their own GM that they might not necessarily want to have a pre-existing general manager in place.
The calls we've gotten, I think we're going to be able to fill the job.
And that's how it ends.
Well, I'm sorry, what did he say?
The calls we've gotten, I think we're going to be able to fill the job.
But that's not the question. The question is,
I told you,
if you hire a head coach who doesn't want you, Joe, what happens?
I think he just answered it, that we're going to hire, we have enough calls where somebody's going to take the job with me as the GM. That's what he's telling you.
Yeah, I don't buy that, though, because there are going to be candidates who aren't even available yet. Even if it's not Mike Tomlin, there are guys who are not. You haven't talked to guys yet.
Should we take that as... Should I have heard that as being agents are calling me?
That's the way I took it.
And so you're choosing from a non-selected pool?
Well, remember, he was tasked with the early looking.
Think about what I'm saying, Tommy. This is not a pool that he's selecting. This is a pool that is calling him, selecting
people
himself.
People are inquiring about the job.
Yes, but he's not making his own pool. Or they're not making their own pool.
That seems a little bold strategy, Cotton. They are the Giants, and they're looking for a head coach. Shouldn't they create their own pool instead of
did I hear that
incorrectly? They put an ad out in the newspaper.
Did I hear that incorrectly?
I agree, and I think Tommy's analogy is good. It sounds as if they're in the classified section, and Joe Shane likes the names that have called him, and therefore, this is what's going on.
I think you just need to use your noodle here. It's December 2nd. It's 3:19 p.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm. The New York Giants are 2-11. Joe Shane just met the media. To me, I'm just one guy speaking as an IFO. To quote a man who we no longer talk about because he ended his career in disgrace, there is no chance in hell, Vince McMahon, that Joe Shane is the general manager next year. He's not. He went out there to talk to the media, to talk to its fans. But one of the first things he said was he'll be reevaluated. He is not leading this coaching search. I don't care what's reported. I'm listening to what he said. I'm looking at the facts on the ground, which is that they're 3-22 in their last 25 games. So I'll kick it off right now. Long-term prediction. This guy's not the general manager next year. Tiki?
I mean, unfortunately, I get the sense that he is going to be. And I don't know if I trust or like that. Nothing to do with him.
Right.
It's just... he doesn't have the answers for the issues that are plainly in front of us.
Yeah, you have probably, in the most respectful way possible, just spoken for the majority of Giant fans, but in a respectful way, which is, I think he'll be back, and I don't exactly have confidence in that. Do you, Mr. Talking Giants, agree with my assertion or Tiki's that Joe Shane will or won't be back?
My head tells me Tiki's right. My gut listening to this told me I don't think he's as safe as I thought he was.
Okay.
So but I don't...
answering both
it
sides.
It is, but I think you could hear it both ways.
Okay.
Here's the truth. I don't trust the Giants. I don't trust them because I just saw them do this with Dave Gettleman. I hope that they've learned their mistakes. I get the sense the easier thing for the organization to do is keep the continuity as much as possible, point to the positives Joe Shane has provided, and go for this thing with another head coach to coach the talent. And that's where my head tells me, but my gut sent some answers today, Evan.
Will you provide us with an answer at some point in the next 5 minutes?
I think I am giving you an
answer.
Just
saying you're going to give us a word salad.
I think what Tiki's saying is right. But I still think, I think the door is more open than it was
what
before he's gone.
What do you think? Not what Tiki thinks.
I think he stays, but there's something in that press conference that told me I'm not 100% sold on it.
Tommy, do you think he stays or he goes?
Joe Shane will sign a contract extension in the offseason. He will remain the general manager of the Giants.
All right. I'll be on an island. We'll come back and get your reaction to what Joe Shane had to say. 888-808-1019. And there's a famous line. When you lose Cronkite, you lose America. Tommy has been a big defender of Joe Shane. We may be witnessing real shortly the he lost Cronkite moment for Joe Shane and Tommy Lugauer. Just a premonition. Is Evan and Tiki the day after the New York Giants get absolutely smacked by the New England Patriots? And just a few minutes ago, if you missed it, you could rewind it on the Odyssey app. We heard from Joe Shane, an incredibly painful press conference in which he really can't defend his record because the record is just undefendable. After last night's loss, the New York Giants dropped to 2-11. 2-11 is an atrocious, atrocious record. If you combine that with the 1-11 conclusion of last year, this football team has lost 22 of its last 25 games. Mm. That is beyond pathetic. So despite there being signs of life, despite the fact that they were good enough to have fourth quarter leads against good teams like the Denver Broncos and the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers, this is a win-loss business.
Yep.
And the one thing Joe Shane cannot defend is a win-loss record that gets worse by the day. So you could rewind back on the Odyssey app to take a listen, but it was painful to the point where I guess I would tell the Giant fan the good news is I don't think he's coming back. He sounded like a dead man walking.
Yeah, it did. It sounded like he was trying to find the answers and they weren't forthcoming. And it sounded bad, and it probably was just as bad. So,
yeah, absolutely. Let's get to some of your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Josh is in Far Rockaway. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's up, guys? First of all, before I get to my point, I'm having flashbacks to Joe Judge talking himself out of the job. That was a really painful listen. But look, at the end of the day, I have a differentiation when it comes to tanking. I don't really care if the Giants generally win the last game or two, if it's for a better pick. I know you guys don't necessarily agree. I have never rooted so hard for a tank than I do right now. I'm just so scared they're going to win a couple of meaningless games, and then Mr. Mara is going through a terrible illness. We understand it's horrible, but like he might take the easier way out. I mean, what are we going to be left with? A GM with a coach in 2 years, a GM with a coach he didn't hire, both of them with the quarterback they didn't draft. Like, I'm just hoping they lose out because I think with 3-4 wins, it could actually convince themselves. Do they think that we're going to be the Patriots next year? That Shane's going to figure it out and is going to win 13 games?
No,
it's not going to happen.
That's not happening for sure. I mean, because look, the roster still needs help. The roster still needs depth. It still needs linebackers. It still needs secondary depth. It needs all of those things that we've constantly looked at this year that have caused the Giants to lose some of these games that they should have lost.
He's sort of right in this regard. I don't know what the wins will do to the decision by Mr. Marr and Mr. Tisch, but if you look at their schedule coming out of the bye, it softens.
Oh, without a doubt.
Home against Washington, home against Minnesota.
Oh, my God.
At Las Vegas, and then, yes, the Cowboy game to wrap up the season with the Cowboys potentially making the postseason. I mean, they could easily go win 3 out of 4. As bad as things were last night, we do have to remember they have lost to a lot of better football teams. Those teams have flaws in their own right. Now, would that change the thinking of ownership and bringing them back? Maybe.
Right.
But
you know what's crazy? The two wins the Giants have are against teams that they on paper should not have even had a chance.
Eagles and the Chargers.
Eagles and the Chargers.
Yes.
So
lost to the Saints.
Right, and just think about how we've said multiple times, this team easily could have 5 wins. This team easily could have 6 wins. This team easily could have no wins. Like, honestly.
No, it's crazy.
And that's, we talk about 2-11 being embarrassing. Imagine they were 0-13.
Yeah, I mean, they're not that far off. But you know what? As much as they could be 0-13, they could also be 6-7 based on all the games that they've lost.
6-7.
Oh, I didn't do that on purpose. But clearly I set that up for Tiki and all the children that are in the audience right now, including my sons, who are now wiggling their arms with the 6-7 thing.
And Tony Romo.
And Tony Romo, yes. Everyone loves that.
My daughter hates it now because I do it all the time.
That's the whole plan.
Yes.
If we can uncool it. I mentioned earlier that I was waiting, and Pat Leonard came very close to doing it, of someone going up to Joe Shane during this press conference and simply saying, how do you still have a job? Mm-hmm. And I referenced a famous moment here in WFAN history. Instead of me just describing it, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you back in the WFAN time machine to Mike and the Mad Dog talking to then president general manager of the New York Islanders, Mike Milbury.
Mike, how are you, Sue the GM?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original. Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well,
you have done let's be fair. You got to say it the way it is. You have not done a good job here. And yet you continue to hire and fire coaches. Your drafting is pathetic. You have not done a good job with your trades.
You're
continually sitting
in that
seat.
Ask the question.
I did. Why is it the GM?
Because in the last 2 years, since Charles Wong got here, we've made the playoffs 2 years. You know, 3 years he's been here, we've made a dramatic swing. We've acquired
significant talent. We don't need to hear
it. You have a good answer, at least.
Well, I mean, that was his answer. Yeah. We've got talent. We made the playoffs.
How much longer was he the general manager?
Not much longer. And Mike Milbury is often defined in Islander fandom as one of the worst things that ever happened to the franchise. Mm. So that's kind of what was happening to Joe Shane earlier today. Hey, Joe, let me ask you. You're an incompetent buffoon. How do you have a job? And he kept going.
How in the world are you still sitting here?
That is, you know, I've thought about this long and hard. It's either the phone call to Mike about Giants and Giants, or it's that as my favorite moment in WFAN history.
How in the world are you still sitting here?
I mean, that's direct. It's hard to ask that question.
Yes.
That directly.
And to do it without even a smile. I tried to do that once to Lawrence Frank on the air. Much fewer people cared about it because it was Lawrence Frank. But I did it with a smile, like we were having fun. Doug was like, you're a loser.
We got to be fair
Your
here.
Drafts have been terrible. You've fired hiring coaches. Terrible.
Yeah, those two moments are my favorite. The one that a lot of people claim, though I don't know if I should ever replay it again, is the clip where I showed Joe B the picture of Caitlyn Jenner.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's number one.
Is that number one?
No doubt. Joe was never happier that the back time hit than that day.
It was the last 30 seconds of the show, Tiki.
Uh-huh.
And I showed him a picture without telling him who it was. And he was enamored by the picture. And then I told him who it was a picture of. And it's just, it was...
How That's my bad.
Joe was admiring.
Yeah.
I think it's the best way to... That was the only time in WFN history I've been in the car and the saying I had to pull over was actually a reality.
And Tommy's right, dude. It was the end of the show. We hit the back time and Mike was coming up. And it was like, we're done. Okay.
We're tough act to follow if you, Mike.
Wait, can we follow up on that? And then we never talked about it on the air again. It just went away into the ether, if you will. Let's go to Rock on Long Island. How you doing, Rock?
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for taking my call. Quick comment and a quick point about something. The quick comment is the Giants need to clean house. Totally clean house. Even the hot dog vendors need to go. They need a totally clean house and start all over.
What did they do, Rock?
And they stink too. But at the end of the day, I'm watching a game last night, and here we are down 15 points, okay? And you've got Jackson Dart in RPO, giving the ball, putting Tyron Tracy in concussion protocol because you're afraid to drop him back and get hit. The man is going to get hit. This is football. This is not badminton. Now, if we're going to pull back and put a shield in front of him and not be the player that he is, then you know what? Let's put him in a skirt and put him on the sideline. Because that was totally pathetic last night. There's 10 minutes left in the game. You're down 15 points and you're running the ball. You want to push the ball downfield. You want to put a sense of urgency into, I got to get this next touchdown. I got to get a stop. Get a two-point conversion. Right. Come on. Well, that was ridiculous.
In defense of Mike Kafka and those moments, who is he throwing the ball downfield to? That was the challenge. They don't have guys that can stretch the field. And to be honest with you, the New England Patriots were just conceding everything in front of them. Just, all right, you want to run the ball for 4 or 5 yards and kick? Fine. Go ahead. You want to just check it down for 3 yards? Go ahead. It's fine. I think Mark Vrabel did a great job of just letting the Giants run the clock.
Yeah.
Just keep the drive going. The longer it takes you to score, the better it is for us.
The biggest problem I had in
He started clock managing, and I'm not even joking, with 11 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
11 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we're screaming and yelling because Dave's can't do it with 3.5 minutes to go.
Right.
Against the Denver Broncos. With 11 minutes to go. He was winning the game, that goes without saying, obviously, because they were up by 15 points. But you're so far ahead of in planning that you're running the clock out with 11 minutes to go in the game.
Right.
Like, that's great coaching. It's not good coaching. That's great coaching.
The thing that bothered me, and I know many have made a big deal of the punting before halftime, which I agree. I wouldn't have punted before halftime. But later in the game, and this was with about 8 minutes to go in the game, they had a 4th and 8 from about their own 32-yard line down by 15. And with 8 minutes to go, I'm just doing the math here saying they kind of have to go for it.
Yes.
Like at that point, like punting the ball away, Patriots get a first down or two, you got to score twice.
Right, game's over.
The game's over. So
you're not going to have enough possessions.
I kind of looked at that 4th and 8, 4th and 7 from their own 33 with about 8 minutes to go and said, why aren't you going for it there? So it wasn't even the play-calling decisions of running the ball with Tyrone Tracy or Devin Singletary. Because I thought at that moment, hey, you will have two possessions to score. I didn't think that was a problem. The problem I had was punting on the 4th and 8. I think in a lot of ways that was a give-up moment.
Right.
We used to call that a bowls back in the day. Now, I know Todd has turned himself into a hell of a head coach, but that was the phrase for a while. Let's go to Corey in Manalapan. Hey, Corey.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm a very, very big Giant fan. Been a fan for a long time. Learned that from my brother and my dad. And the thing about this is that last night, a couple of times, I kept going on Facebook and saying, when do we put our hands up and concede? Because that's what it looked like. It looked like, and I'm 70 years old, and I'm sitting there saying, this is like touch football. For me, he's standing back there. There's not one guy in his face. Not one guy.
He's throwing to open receivers. I wish my touch football guys did the same thing. I think the organization is dysfunctional. I thought it all along. I don't understand the premise of getting rid of the coach and not cleaning house, to be very honest with you. I think you have to really start at the beginning. I know it's going to be painful. I understand pain. I've been living with it for a while. And also,
No. You're a Giant fan, and you're 70, which means you've seen 4 Super Bowls. Don't take our gimmick, okay?
He could have been talking about personal pain.
Oh, but now you make me feel bad.
Yeah, I'm making you feel bad.
Is that what he was talking about?
Yeah, you're probably talking about arthritis or something like that.
Oh, come on. I thought he was talking about the pain of being a Giant fan. Like, trust me, the Giants are imitating the Jets in a lot of ways, which I will explain in just a few minutes. But in terms of your patheticness at winning championships, no, that's ours.
Right, we can't ever claim that.
No, you can never claim that, actually. The only way you could claim that is if the Jets rack up 4 or 5 Super Bowls, and then 70 years from now, you're still stuck on your number.
I think the Jets would have to become like almost dynasty.
Yeah.
And then we could talk about our pain.
Exactly. Exactly. We're a ways away from that.
Yeah.
We'll never see that. So you let us keep our gimmick, and you could keep your gimmick. All right? Jay is in Woodmere. What's up, Jay?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. You were saying earlier about how when Joe Shane said that the leaders are not necessarily the best players, mm-hmm. but he said that your best players have to be your leaders. Didn't the report come out yesterday that Juan Soto is not the leader of the Mets clubhouse?
Different sport.
The best player is not necessarily.
Different sport.
That's, yeah.
Different sport.
Baseball is an individual sport, Jay. You know that. It's an individual team sport. It's not. And you play 162 games.
It's just different. It's very different. I get it. I get it because yesterday we were having the discourse on Juan Soto and leaders and non-leaders and the Mets locker room. I think it's just not the same. Now, I ask you this from your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that it's impossible to be like a star player in the NFL and not be a leader? Is it depending on the position that you play?
Well, it's hard. I'm trying to think. Give me a star player that is, I don't know, not revered by his teammates.
A.J. Brown.
That's.
Does that work? Does that answer the question?
I wouldn't even call him a star.
Oh, come on.
Because he's not the star of that team.
He's not, but that's because they have a lot of good players.
Yeah, but he's a malcontent, though.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird because we seemingly have some of those, too. So it's a good example.
I tried.
But it's the wrong example.
Okay.
I'm talking about, is Justin Herbert the leader of the Chargers?
Yes. I would think so.
Is he the guy that everybody looks up to?
Yeah.
Answer is yes. Look at the Indianapolis Colts. Perfect example. Who's the leader of that team, you think?
Well, I would probably think it's Jonathan Taylor and Daniel Jones.
It's Jonathan Taylor.
It's not Daniel Jones?
I mean, maybe it is Daniel
Jones. Do you almost
Jones,
have to be a quarterback,
but,
though?
Yeah, but Daniel's quiet, man.
Yeah.
It's not his personality. He's not the rah-rah guy. He's not the guy. Who's breaking down the Indianapolis Colts when they come out of the tunnel? Is it Daniel Jones?
Nah, it's probably exactly. Jonathan Taylor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what, and it's usually the best player that's doing that.
I got you.
Michael Strahan did that. Like, and so Shockey would do that for us. It's usually your best player who is the leader. And it's because he's the one that has the energy and he's the one that has the confidence to speak in front of everybody and know exactly what he's saying and knowing that I'm also about to go do my job. Right? I don't care what y'all are doing. I'm going to do my job. Follow me. It's hard if you're the special teams ace is going to do that, right? The glue guy is going to do that. I don't think so. Baseball, maybe. Football, no chance.
Yeah, I've seen enough in baseball where you can be a great player and just not have to lead a team. It's just a different sport.
Yeah.
It's just everything's very different. Joe's on Long Island. Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up?
I just wanted to make a quick point. You guys brought up that Joe Shane was answering a few questions before, and he was asked that what if the head coach that wanted to be hired wanted to bring in their own GM? And the answer that Joe Shane gave led me to believe that he knows that the writing's on the wall, that they're getting enough phone calls that his job is going to be handled.
Yeah,
and they'll sell that.
You know what, Sean, can you play that clip one more time? Mm-hmm. It was the last clip we played of the Joe Shane press conference. It's a very odd clip, and it was the ending of the Joe Shane press conference. It abruptly ended, which is probably the best decision that Giants PR could have made, because it was a crap show. So it was probably good to just have it end and have it walk away. But the question that was given to Joe was simply, what if you guys bring in a head coach who doesn't want you to be around as general manager?
A GM candidate might want to bring in, a coaching candidate might want to have their own GM that they might not necessarily want to have a pre-existing general manager in place.
The calls we've gotten, I think we're going to be able to fill the job.
I don't even know what that means. But our last caller means Joe Shane is telling you, I ain't going to be here. So what the hell does it mean? Which is where I actually lean. I don't think he'll be here.
I hear he's saying we're getting enough calls and they like me.
Yeah, but you're not getting enough calls because most of the candidates that you're going to talk to are not available yet.
That you should be talking to
are
not available.
Who are you able to talk? Like, Mike McCarthy's available, right? Well, he doesn't have a job.
Well, agents call, though. So even if Chris Shula is not available to have an interview, you better believe his agent is talking.
And his agent is telling Joe Shane, oh, don't worry, Chris would love to work with you? BS. I don't buy that.
I don't either, but that's what he said. That's why it was surprising to me. That's why I questioned, like, what did I just hear?
I'm surprised that all of you think that Joe Shane's going to keep his job. I'm alone on an island. Now, what I'm very curious about, and I honestly have no insight on what this answer is going to be, is that Tommy's been a big Joe Shane defender. It's been very interesting radio. I've heard him argue with people. We had that yesterday on the program. And I got a sense that Joe Shane's press conference was so bad that even Tommy, who never goes back on an opinion, may actually have been lost here. Like, even he is abandoning the Joe Shane kind of boat. We call that, if you lose Cronkite, you lose America. If Joe Shane loses Tommy Lugauer, it's over. So, Tommy, did Joe Shane lose you?
He didn't lose me, but it was a brutal press conference. In the future, I would just not meet the media. I would have somebody, you know, read off a teleprompter for you. I would not meet the media anymore. He's just not a greatest communicator. We saw that on Hard Knocks. He just doesn't come off great on screen in front of a microphone. Not everybody does. I still support him as the GM, but not as a public speaker trying to tell the Giant fans, like, what's going on with the future of the team.
The Giant fan is out for blood, and he's not calming that bloodthirst.
And we've had a lot of blood. I mean, we're like vampires. They fired everything that's not bolted to the ground.
Right.
Last night, after the Devin Williams signing and Danny Wolf posterized Miles Bridges, and obviously the Giants embarrassed themselves, I was so curious to kind of go to Giants social media and see who they're blaming now. Because we asked everyone to predict that yesterday, and Sean was big. He's like, they're going to turn on Abdul Carter, which turned out to be true because of the Abdul Carter sit-down for the first two drives. Tommy, I thought, had the best opinion. He called for the firing of Mike Kafka.
Demotion, for sure. He could keep his job, but he should not coach another game the rest of this year. That was gutless last night. He waved the white flag. He didn't even try. You're auditioning to be the head coach of the freaking New York Giants, and you quit as a coach on a field last night. You don't go for it on 4th and inches. What's with the running the ball in the second half? Are they protecting Jackson Dart? Don't play him.
Do you think that maybe what the Giants should try is a college of coaches where every week someone else gets a chance to be that?
Coalition of the willing here, you know, a committee. It's like Survivor.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. I just think for now you've been voted off, perhaps on good behavior. You get back in the seat. But how could you have Mike Kafka be the coach going forward?
Has a team ever fired the interim head coach?
I doubt it.
It's a great question. I will say that I thought was the worst coach Giants game in a decade.
Dude, it was brutal. It was so brutal that, again, I mentioned this at the top of the show. You could rewind on the Odyssey app. We had this cool, fun little game that Tiki created of the percentages of Kafka keeping the job. For every win, it increases by 10%. If it's an upset win, it's 15%.
Right.
We have now moved to territory where Mike Kafka killed the game.
Yeah, it's over.
He's at 0%.
Yes.
He has no shot.
Yeah, there's no multiple that gets him this job.
So why not give somebody else a look? They're not getting the job either.
Who?
I don't know. Anybody.
like random Tommy DeVito off the street?
There's 100,000 Maras walking around that building. Let them coach the team. I don't know anybody. Does Pat Leonard want the job? Don't coach Pat. You know, stop coaching Pat. You could throw anybody in there.
Bobby Skinner?
Bobby Skinner?
The Giants Nation
Tiki
podcast?
Tiki, Carl Banks? I'm not joking. Like, last night you had a guy basically say, I don't want anything to do with this job. Because if you were really trying to earn this opportunity, you would have not coached that game like Mike Kafka did last night. You don't deserve to have the gig then right now.
I actually have the answer.
Go ahead.
Somebody with this team, leadership, knows football ins and outs, and is doing nothing right now. Russell Wilson.
Player coach Russell Wilson. I actually wouldn't be that bad of an idea.
That's what warmed up to Tiki. All the names Tommy threw out, Pat Leonard, Mike Francesa, didn't work, but the Russell Wilson thing is intriguing. When we come back, we'll get back to your phone calls, 888-808-1019, and why, as an IFO and as a Jet fan, I saw my team in all of you guys last night. How the Giants have fully morphed into the New York Jets. We'll get to that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.